Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are wrestling with what I honestly think is the single biggest headache in modern software development.
Oh, yeah.
It's this constant exhausting tug of war between making things convenient for users and making them secure.
It's the classic trade-off, isn't it?
It is. I mean, think about it. On one side, as a user, I want magic. I want my app to open instantly.
Right.
I want real-time collaboration with my team. I want my data to sync across my phone, my laptop, my tablet, without me ever hitting a save button. And, you know, I want it to work when I'm in a subway tunnel with zero signal.
Right. You want the Google Docs experience. Mm-hmm. Seamless, instant, everywhere.
Exactly. But on the other side, as a product manager, and that's the hat I'm going to wear today, I have this terrifying reality hanging over my head.
Uh-huh.
Data breaches, ransomware, compliance audits, and usually, to get that magical sync experience, I have to hand over all my users' data to a cloud provider and just hope.
You're relying on the pinky promise model of security. Trust us, our admins definitely aren't reading your database.
Yeah.
And that is keeping me up at night. So today we are ripping apart a solution that claims we don't have to choose. We are looking at MindoDB.
Mm.
Ideally, this is the holy grail, the convenience of a real-time sync engine, but with the paranoia of a cold storage crypto wallet.
It is a fascinating piece of technology. The source material defines MindoDB as an end-to-end encrypted offline first sync database. Now, that is a mouthful of buzzwords, I know.
It is.
But if they actually pull this off, it changes the fundamental architecture of how we build apps.
So to keep us grounded, I'm going to play the skeptic today. Like I said, I'm the product manager. I care about user experience. I care about legal compliance.
Yeah.
And I care about not getting fired because the app is too slow.
Fair enough. And I'll take the role of the technical architect. My job is to look at the plumbing, the cryptography, the sync protocols, the infrastructure, to see if this thing is actually viable or if it's just academic vaporware.
Perfect. So, architect, let's start with the big claim on the box. Zero trust storage.
Right.
In the security world, zero trust gets thrown around like confetti. What does it actually mean in the context of MindoDB?
So to understand zero trust here, you have to look at the traditional model first. Think about PostgreSQL or Firebase or really any standard cloud database.
Okay.
In those systems, the server is God. It sees everything. It reads the data. It processes the query. It indexes the text. And it sends the result back to you.
Right. The server has the keys to the castle.
Exactly. If I hack that server, or if the government serves a subpoena to the hosting provider, or if a rogue admin gets curious, your data is exposed.
Yep.
MindoDB flips that model completely. In this universe, the server is blind.
Blind.
Completely. The server's job is just to move blobs of data from point A to point B. It cannot read a single byte of the content.
So if a breach happens,
if the FBI kicks down the door of the data center, all they find is ciphertext, just scrambled noise.
Okay, so if the server can't read it, who holds the keys?
That's the core philosophy. Your data, your keys, your control. The keys are generated on the user's device, and they stay on the device.
They never touch the server.
Never. They never touch the server's RAM or its hard drive.
See, this is where my product manager alarm bells start ringing. Usually when you lock things down that tight, when you do all the encryption on the client side, performance absolutely tanks.
It can, yeah.
I'm looking at the documentation here, and it mentions a specific cryptographic stack, three layers. Walk us through that, because encryption is usually where speed goes to die.
It doesn't have to be if you architect it right, and they've been very smart about layering this. The first layer is AES-256 GCM.
Okay, stop there. AES-256, that's the standard military-grade stuff we hear about in spy movies.
It is, but the important part is that it's symmetric encryption. It's incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
Modern processors have built-in hardware acceleration just for this.
Okay.
MindoDB uses this for encryption at rest. So the actual content of your documents, the text, the numbers, the patient records, that's all locked with AES.
Okay, so the data is safe in the box.
Right. But now you have a problem. How do I share that document with you without giving you my master password? If we both need to edit the same file, how do we swap keys securely? That's where layer two comes in, RSA.
RSA is the older, slower stuff, right?
It is slower, but it's asymmetric. You have a public key and a private key. MindoDB uses per user RSA keys for access control.
Think of it like a digital envelope system.
An envelope?
Yeah. I take the fast AES key that unlocks the document, and I encrypt that key using your public RSA key.
So I receive a digital envelope that only I can open, and inside is the key to the actual document.
Precisely. And the third layer is just standard TLS transport layer security that protects the data while it's traveling through the internet cables, just like any other secure website.
Let me try to stick an analogy on this to make sure I get it, because this seems crucial.
Go quick.
Imagine I have a secret prototype. I put it inside an indestructible titanium safe. That's the AES layer.
Right. Fast, strong, secure. Then I put the combination to that safe inside a special lockbox that only you have the key for. That's the RSA layer.
You're with me so far.
And then we put both the safe and the lockbox inside an armored truck to drive it to the warehouse. That's the TLS.
That's it. And the crucial part of this analogy, the zero trust part, is the warehouse manager, who is the server.
Right.
He receives the truck, takes out the titanium safe, and puts it on a shelf. He has no idea what's inside, he doesn't have the combination, and he certainly can't pick the lock. He's just a storage clerk.
Which sounds great for security.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the user experience. I'm hearing heavy encryption on the client side, and I'm thinking about battery life and lag. If my user is on a standard 4G connection and goes into a subway tunnel, does the app just freeze?
This is actually where the offline first architecture turns into a massive advantage. Counterintuitively, this security model usually makes the app feel faster, not slower.
How does doing more math on the phone make it faster?
Because MinduDB is local first. When your user types a character or updates a status, they aren't talking to the server.
Oh.
They're writing directly to a database embedded inside their phone app.
So zero latency.
Zero network latency. It works perfectly in airplane mode. The app doesn't even care if the internet is down. It just keeps working.
Okay, but eventually I have to sync. I come out of the subway tunnel, my phone reconnects. If I've edited a massive document, am I suddenly burning through my data plan, uploading the whole file again?
No, and this is where the engineering gets clever. They use what's called metadata first reconciliation.
Okay.
When the network comes back, the client and server don't swap files immediately. They swap notes. They ask, what changed?
Just the deltas.
Exactly. If you change one paragraph in a 50-page contract, the system identifies just that change. The bandwidth usage is proportional to the change, not the file size.
I saw a term in the notes, bloom filters. It sounds like a gardening technique, but I assume it's an optimization algorithm.
It is, and it's brilliant. Imagine you have 10,000 files on your phone. To check if the server has them all, you could ask 10,000 questions. Do you have file A? Do you have file B?
Which is slow and wastes battery.
So slow. A bloom filter lets the client send a tiny compressed mathematical fingerprint of everything it has.
A fingerprint?
The server looks at that fingerprint and can instantly say, I am 99% sure I have everything you have, or I definitely don't have file X. It eliminates about 90 to 99% of the chatter.
So we aren't wasting time comparing lists.
It makes the do we need to sync check almost instantaneous, and combined with cursor scanning, which just ensures we don't choke the network by asking for too much data at once, it makes the sync process surprisingly lightweight.
Okay, I'm sold on the efficiency. But now I'm going to throw you the ultimate collaboration nightmare. This is the one that breaks most offline apps.
Let's hear it.
I'm editing a document on a flight from London. You are editing the exact same paragraph of the same document on a flight from New York. We land. We both connect to Wi-Fi. Who wins?
The classic merge conflict. In the old days, or even with some current systems, you'd get that pop-up. Version conflict. Save as copy.
Which is the fastest way to make a user hate your software. Or worse, my changes just overwrite yours because I synced 5 seconds later.
Right. MinduDB solves this with something called auto-merge CRDTs.
CRDT, conflict-free replicated data types.
That's the one. It's a fancy term for a data structure that is mathematically guaranteed to merge successfully, no matter what order the changes arrive in.
Mathematically guaranteed sounds like magic. How does it decide who wins if we both type different things?
It's not about winning. It's about preserving history. The database doesn't just store the text of the document. It stores the history of every keystroke.
Every single one.
Every single character insertion and deletion as a unique event with a timestamp and a user ID.
So it knows that I typed hello at 10:00 a.m., and you typed world at 10:01 a.m., even if we sync hours later.
Exactly. When our phones sync, the system just weaves those histories together. It's order independent. It doesn't matter if your changes arrive at the server 5 minutes before mine, or if they arrive backward. The math ensures that once all the data is received, we both end up looking at the exact same document state.
So we never enter a corrupted state.
Never. And I noticed another layer of cryptography here that's vital for this, ED25519 signatures.
Is that just for the merge?
That's for integrity. Every little change, every character you type is cryptographically signed by your private key.
Meaning the database knows I wrote it.
And can prove nobody tampered with it in transit. And this is where we transition from cool tech to business requirements.
Right, let's talk compliance. Because if I'm building an app for healthcare and dealing with HIPAA or finance and dealing with GDPR, I have auditors breathing down my neck. They don't care about cool sync algorithms. They care about audit trails. They want to know, who touched this data? And can you prove it wasn't altered?
This is where the MinduDB architecture shines. Because of those signatures we just mentioned, the database essentially creates an append-only, cryptographically chained audit trail.
Unpack append-only for me. That means I can't delete mistakes.
It means you can delete a document from the view, but you can't delete the history that the document existed or that you changed it.
Yeah.
It's like a ledger written in ink, not pencil. Every change is hashed and linked to the previous one.
It sounds like a blockchain.
It uses very similar concepts, Merkle trees, hash chains, but without the energy waste or the slowness of a public blockchain. You don't need consensus from the whole world. You just need to prove your own history.
So play out the scenario. An admin at the hosting company, let's say a rogue employee, tries to sneak in and change a patient's dosage number in the database directly on the hard drive.
The chain breaks immediately. The admin doesn't have the doctor's private key to sign the new entry.
So the app would know.
When any client app tries to load that data, it will verify the signature, see it's invalid or missing, and reject the data. You have mathematical proof of tampering.
That is a huge selling point for enterprise. Instead of saying, we have a secure firewall, you're saying, the math proves nobody touched this.
Exactly. Compare that to PostgreSQL or Firebase. In those systems, you are relying on server-side security. You're trusting the hosting provider has good firewalls and that their admins are honest.
Right.
With MinduDB, you aren't trusting the infrastructure, you're trusting the encryption.
What about access control, though? In a hospital, a nurse needs to see patient records, but the billing department shouldn't see the medical notes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that logic lives on the server. Server checks my login and says yes or no. If the server is blind, how does it know who's allowed to see what?
This is the tricky part of end-to-end encryption. Since the server can't read the data, it can't enforce read permissions based on content. Instead, MinduDB uses named keys and sharing graphs.
How does that work?
Think of it as a keychain. If I want you to see the medical notes document, I cryptographically share the key for that specific document with you. I don't give you the key to the whole database.
So the access control is enforced by encryption, not by a server checking a list. Mm-hmm. If I don't have the key, the data is just noise to me.
Correct. It allows for very granular, fine-grained access. You can share a single task in a project management app without exposing the whole project.
Okay, I'm getting excited about the possibilities here, but I'm also a realist. I have an existing tech stack.
Right.
I have a legacy SQL database. Do I have to burn everything to the ground and start over to use this?
Surprisingly, no. The integration path is designed for what they call progressive adoption.
Okay.
You can actually start using this without a server at all.
Just local.
NPM install Minded. You can treat it as a superpowered local storage on the device. It takes a few hours to set up. You get the encryption, the offline capabilities, and the query speed immediately.
And then what I want to sync.
Then you add the server component. They estimate that moving to client-server sync takes days, not months. You basically just need to set up 2 authentication endpoints and 3 sync endpoints.
That sounds suspiciously easy.
Well, easy relative to building a real-time sync engine from scratch, which is a total nightmare. But the really wild part, and this is for the architects listening, is the network topology.
What do you mean?
Because the server is blind, it doesn't actually have to be a server in the cloud sense. It can be another device. MinduDB supports peer-to-peer syncing.
So my phone could sync directly to your laptop without going to the cloud?
Yes. Via LAN, WebRTC, or even Bluetooth.
Wait, let's pause on that. That has massive implications. Imagine a field hospital in a disaster zone. No internet, no 4G.
Right.
The doctors could still sync patient data between their tablets.
Exactly. As long as they can talk to each other, the database syncs. You can even set up relay nodes, little low-power devices that just pass the encrypted messages along like a bucket brigade.
It completely decouples the application logic from the network layer.
It does. And for the developers listening, they threw in some quality of life features too. There's time travel.
I assume not a DeLorean.
Sadly, no. But because the database is an append-only log of changes, you can query the database state at any point in time. You can say, "Show me what this document looked like last Tuesday at 4 p.m."
That's incredibly useful for debugging or even for undo features in the UI.
Right. And virtual views, which act a bit like materialized views in SQL pre-calculating totals and categories so you don't have to run heavy queries on the device.
Okay, expert. You've painted a very rosy picture. Military-grade encryption, instant sync, offline magic. My skeptical alarm is ringing loud and clear. What is the catch?
The catch is maturity. We have to be very clear about this. MinduDB is labeled as alpha software.
That is a big flashing red warning light.
It is. It means the APIs might change next week. It means there might be edge cases in the library that haven't been found yet. The cryptography and the math are solid. These are standard algorithms, but the glue holding it together is still drawing.
So I shouldn't run a central bank on this tomorrow.
I would not. It's for early adopters, builders, and specific use cases where privacy is worth the risk of bleeding edge tech.
Are there architectural limitations? Places where this model just breaks down?
Definitely. If you have a system with massive write throughput, like an IoT sensor logging temperature 1,000 times a second, an append-only log is going to get very big very fast.
It would choke the storage on the device?
Right. Also, if you need complex relational queries joining 5 different tables based on arbitrary criteria, document stores like this aren't great at that. Stick to SQL for your complex reporting.
So it's a specialized tool. Collaborative, secure, offline-capable apps.
Exactly. If you're building a secure notes app, a medical tracker, a field reporter tool, this is perfect. If you're building a high-frequency trading platform, look elsewhere.
That feels like a fair assessment. It's not a silver bullet, but it's a very sharp, very specific bullet.
A titanium-encased, cryptographically signed bullet.
So, to summarize what we've unpacked today, we are seeing a shift from trust the network to trust the keys. MinduDB is giving us a way to build apps that are secure by default, not secure by policy.
That's the core takeaway. We are moving into an era where we simply cannot trust the infrastructure anymore. The servers, the routers, the ISPs, they are all vulnerable. MinduDB represents a philosophy where we stop trying to secure the castle walls and instead we secure the treasure itself.
Secure the treasure, not the castle.
We are moving from trusting a corporation's promise to trusting mathematics. And math doesn't care if you have a subpoena, a hacker, or a bribe. It just holds the line.
That is a powerful thought to end on. For the architects and engineers listening who want to get their hands dirty, where do they go?
It's all open source. Check the GitHub. Read the security audit documentation. It's surprisingly readable. And seriously, try the local-only setup. You can verify the encryption yourself in about 20 minutes.
Try it before you sink it. I like it. Thank you so much for breaking this down with us. This feels like a glimpse into the future of privacy.
It is a pleasure.
And thank you to everyone listening to the Deep Dive. Go check out the code, try to break it, and let us know what you build. We'll catch you next time.